back to Meet Me by the Dumpster, a podcast about the messy middle of all things work by two colleagues turned friends. I'm Mary.
I'm Astrid.
Today, we are so excited because we are covering a very favorite topic of ours, petty work drama. And we also have a special guest on the pod today. So we're thrilled to be joined by our friend and also our former colleague, Bethany. Welcome to the show, Bethany.
Hi, y'all.
Yay. So happy to have you here.
So happy to be here. It's been a long time since the three of us have been in the same room.
Yes, it has. It was pre-pandemic.
It was the moment in which the pandemic happened. It's so funny because I think of you, Mary, actually, in the pandemic, because you're one of the people where I remember being like, yes, take an Uber.
Yes, the day that the office or like kind of like the day that the city shut down, I remember being in the office with you. And yeah, we were all sort of like, what do we do? I think you were out of town, maybe. I don't know where you were.
Everybody was out of town. Our manager was out of town. Everybody was just like, the world has shut down, Bethany. Figure it out. And I was like, well, everybody grab your torches and your pitchforks and put them in an Uber. Yes, take your chair. Sure. I don't care.
That was crazy because I feel like it was like 10 or 10:30 in the morning. We'd all like, those of us that were there had just gone to the office, and then we were all like, I guess we're going to go home. But obviously we had no idea we would go home indefinitely, basically.
We didn't know what we were getting into. We were all just like, I just walked up all these stairs.
True.
You can add emergency response coordinator to your LinkedIn. I think that's
absolutely, you
know, definitely qualification.
I'm going to write that down.
We wanted to start and just share a little bit about how we know Bethany. So at the second company that Mary and I worked at together, Bethany was the office manager. But
that doesn't really, office manager plus like, let's just add 10 other roles to that. And
quietly.
I don't think that title was like encompassed mm-hmm. everything that you did, but on paper. Yes.
Right. I mean, emergency response coordinator.
Exactly.
You know, internal comms.
Literally, internal comms, people manager, manager of the U.S. office. Like,
quietly.
Yeah.
Quietly.
Yeah. So Bethany was running everything.
Basically.
And I think one of my first impressions is I feel like you really brought your entire personality to the office, which I remember on my first day felt so comforting to meet someone who was very much who they are and just that welcoming presence. And so that's one thing that's always really stuck out.
I actually really appreciate that. That's like my whole reason for being in the industry that I'm in. I feel like my parents are very blue collar and they have no idea what it's like to be at like a startup or a tech company or anything like that. And it's not that my mom has no valuable advice because work is work, but like they just don't envision themselves in the spaces that I find myself in. And I just can't function as like some pared down version of myself. So I'm always just like, I've got to be somewhere that doesn't care how many times I change my hair or what, like what it sounds like. So that really resonates.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Aww. Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I think the energy that you brought to that space, I think it was, that company was, it was really exciting to work at that company, but it was also really challenging in many ways because we were sort of like the sort of stepsister office to the main headquarters, which was in the UK at the time. And so we kind of always felt like we had to, you know, fight and like sort of claw our way and like advocate for ourselves. And I think that you rallied everybody and got everybody like on board and excited. And yeah, I appreciated that so much. I think you brought so much energy and I missed that so much. And it was back to the pandemic, it was so hard to go from like that culture and that energetic environment to like into the pandemic. And I know you tried so hard during the pandemic too, but man, those Zoom meetings, they got old. Like, it just got...
In two seconds. And the other part of it was, like, it wasn't just work was the other thing. Everything was through a screen on a Zoom. We were going to weddings and baby showers. And, like, that's how we were having Friday dinner with our friends. Mm-hmm. Everything was a FaceTime. And I was just like, I'm going to be honest with you. I love all these people, but if I have to pop up on the Zoom with a fucking Canva background and some sort of fake activity ever, I'm going to, like, it's going to be really bad. Yeah, no, those were some dark times. I definitely shaved my head bald. Oh, yeah. The pandemic was a lot.
I only appreciate the realness because I think that they're... You could have had the other route and been like, no, let's just keep going. But I think acknowledging and back to sort of what I appreciate you about you is that you just acknowledge that, like, this sucks, guys. Like, this actually sucks. Like, this isn't, like, we're burnout. We're overworked. We're, like, we have so much meeting fatigue. And you just acknowledge that. And then you didn't force us to do, you know, mandatory fun on mm-hmm. Zoom. So thank you for that. So, Bethany, I would love for you to just tell us a little bit about your career history. What have you been up to? I know we worked together a few years ago, but so just, yeah, tell us, kind of tell us your little, give us your little career story.
You would never know it by looking at me because I'm a vibrant, youthful person.
But that I've is been true.
An admin for like 10 years at this point. So I have done everything from being like a personal assistant to an office manager to an office assistant. And then they started calling it workplace. And then I've been like senior workplace program coordinator and workplace team lead. And now I think my title is something along the lines of people experience and culture manager, comma workplace, right?
But I like that. Good title.
Thank you. That is a strong title. They're like, let's put as many words as we can into this title.
Exactly.
When you have a comma in your title, you know you're moving up.
Yeah. That's how I feel. But basically what that means in English is that I am all about like on-site programming, facilities, and usually a little bit of like L&D internal comms for Razzle Dazzle. And, you know, since the post-pandemic universe, I'm also very, very big on employee resource groups. Mm-hmm. When we all work together, I sort of put together our company's first DEI task force and our first all-encompassing, like, employee resource group. And then I was realizing that other people in similar administrative positions were being sort of voluntold to do the same. So I wrote a book about how to do that. And so now I am like very, very passionate about ERGs and I always do at least a little bit of ERG programming. So I'm always some ERG co-lead.
I love the phrase voluntold. That's a, I feel like we should explore that in a future episode. That's a good one.
Define that. Because I think I got an idea, but like what, voluntold.
Oh, yes. Voluntold is when.
I don't think I'm going to like it.
Oh, no. No, no, no. It's that like when your manager or somebody who is hierarchically above you strongly suggests that you volunteer to do something, right? Like, you should, like, you're not actually telling me to do it, but I don't really have the option to say no. Where it's phrased as a question, it's, you should, it's a suggestion. But, like, if you say no, it's going on your performance review, though.
So it's like, oh, do an extra job, but we're not going to compensate you for it. That's what I'm hearing.
You know, regular work stuff.
Yeah, true.
Just do this.
Nothing groundbreaking, just the day-to-day.
You know, it's that, what is it? How do they phrase that in like job descripts? Other duties as assigned.
We look for rock stars who go above and beyond.
No, I'm not that. I am, but not if you wrote it in the job description. I also refuse to work for places that are tight-knit families. That just means abusive. Toxic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No boundaries.
Red flag, right? Like anything in the job description or in an interview that we're a family. I'm out of here.
Like, well, my family. What am I coming
Very good point. I would not want to work with my family.
I love my mother more than any human being. She could never be my actual manager at a workplace because I would quit instantly. Mom, you're too aggressive.
I know some people who do it. They work at the same company as their parents. I just, no, I know. Ma'am. Yeah. And they seem, it seems to work for them in the same department too. I mean, yeah, but no, families is a huge, huge red flag.
Let's get into the topic of today, which is petty work drama. So Astrid suggested this topic, so I feel like she's coming.
I'm so excited.
I don't know what that says about her. Maybe she can tell us. But let's talk about it. How do we each feel about it? Astrid, why don't you go first, since this was your suggestion? And maybe we need to, I don't know if we need to necessarily define it, but like, what do you think petty work drama is?
I was going
to
say, we do know that Miss Finley over here, our former elementary school teacher, loves a definition. So
yeah, we got to operationalize our terms.
We need a common language. It's more inclusive.
I agree.
Bethany, how do you define petty drama, especially in the workspace?
I love petty work drama when it's not directed at me, very specifically, right? And like, petty work drama is, like, what makes it petty is that it never needed to happen. Like, there are there's multiple realities, and every other version of the multiverse, this didn't take place because it never had to. You never even had to go there.
Yes.
I love that. So, really insignificant, but
yeah, like, why are we
incredibly
even,
fun?
Yeah, we never had to. And sometimes petty work drama evolves into this all-encompassing thing. But when you get to the heart of it, it's like, you know, she didn't eat my tuna at the potluck 3 years ago. So
I think I would define petty work drama pretty similarly as this thing that we need almost to remind ourselves that so much of work can be presenting a facade, or you see this front that people bring. And petty work drama, I think, is usually insignificant, but also very revealing about personalities. And so it's a little peek at the person behind the facade. It's like, oh, they might, you know, look all professional, you know, they've got all the jargon. But like, I see that, you know, there's something a little there. So I think that is how I would define it. And
that's
also
so
what
real.
Makes it so fun.
That's so real.
Okay, Miss Finley, how do you define it?
I really liked your definition, Bethany. I think it's when it's petty drama, it's like there aren't really going to be consequences unless it then balloons into this much larger thing and escalates, and then there are serious consequences. And I don't want to be a part of that. So I am very similarly, I want to be on the outside. I love to watch the drama unfold. And I have been in a position, I'm very grateful for this, that I am a person at many jobs that people share gossip with.
Yes.
I don't know what it is. You know, I try to be friendly, you know, and they're just like, they just start talking. And I'm just like, you know, I love catching up with, even with, you know, some of our old coworkers. You know,
I cultivate that
yes.
energy. I'm just like, bring me your tires. Bring me your tea.
Exactly. Yeah. I just feel like, and then I'm just like, oh, okay. Now I have all this information now. But again, I don't want to be in it. I don't want it to be about me.
No.
No consequences for me, but I love to like know what's happening.
Mm. You always have the tidbits, Mary.
Yeah. I feel like also Bethany working in like HR people team, that must actually, I imagine that's kind of that could be a tough balance because you want to like be a part of it, but you also have to, like Astrid said, kind of like you have to present as professional. You have
See,
to toe that
one
line.
Thing. I love the workplace team because it's like people adjacent. I'm not a PPP. I'm not your HR business partner.
Okay.
I'm not coaching you on how to do better at your job. Like I am, but like not officially. Your manager doesn't care what I think, right? So yeah, I want all your tea. Tell me everything. I want to know. And being in office anything requires you to eavesdrop on people in a way that they don't understand. I'm like, what'd you say about the snacks? Oh, what? The co- the coffee is done. Oh, someone spilled something. Actually, Astrid said that this plant just died on its own, but she's been fucking with it for like 3 weeks. And I know that she took home the clippings, but we're not going to make a big deal about that. So I'm like very nosy and I'm secretly all up in everybody's business on purpose. And I'm just like, how can I improve the culture if I don't really know how you guys feel?
Wow.
Huh. Tell me.
So if you want the workplace tea, then what is it? Workplace operations? That's the place. Okay, that's the place to be.
That makes sense.
And who says this podcast doesn't have career tips? You heard it here.
I love that. I think petty work drama is so fun, but like, and I was like, you know, it's kind of silly. It's inconsequential. But actually now I'm seeing like from your perspective, you know, it could be very insightful. It can be very valuable. Keeping the pulse on the office.
Oh my God, yes.
Seeing what's happening behind the scenes, anticipating.
In fact, petty work drama trends, right? Like the more petty drama that there is, I'm just like, see, now it's time for us to do something fun. Now we need a debrief of some kind. We need to like, the sales team is bugging out. There's all manner of petty work drama coming out from marketing. We need an outing.
I also think petty work drama can be a measure of a healthy workplace because I've been at places where there's very little petty work drama. And on the surface, that could seem like a good thing. But I think it's when people are a little checked out. Mm-hmm. Mm. And so you do have to be invested somewhat to care about petty work drama.
Yeah.
And so maybe it should be a new KPI, like a measure that, you know, the team tracks, like how much petty work drama is there, you know, correlates with a healthy, engaged workforce.
I would be on that study team. I would conduct those interviews.
I love it. I'm like, we're going to develop a comprehensive research study on the value of petty work drama in the workplace.
Oh, my God.
Well, I agree. Uh-huh. It's sort of like the if you don't have a friend at work thing that we've talked about before that like, yeah, if you're so checked out that you don't communicate with anyone, then there's no chance for that the work drama to come up.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Why do you guys think petty work drama is so fun?
I think to your earlier point, Astrid, that we kind of need a petty work drama moment because, you know, just staring at your screen all day. Like, I do come to work to do my job, but for the full 8 hours, I mean, everybody needs, like, a break. It's the camaraderie building. That's how you build team. That's how you know who you truly like and who you truly don't like. There's got to be a moment that is about figuring out who your coworkers are. And that's the petty work drama. Mm. That's what it's for.
I like that.
I also love that it can be very industry specific. Mm-hmm. Like the three of us have worked at startups and tech companies. I've worked as a teacher before. So I worked in like a traditional education setting. But I think it's hilarious to think about like all these different places. Like there's definitely petty work drama at the hospital my sister works at. She's a nurse. I've already heard many stories from her about the drama between the nurses. You know, it's happening with, I have a friend who is an engineer and the amount of drama that she tells me about, like it's amazing. And there's similarities across these industries, but then of course there's just like, you know, if you're in a specific setting, it's like, oh my gosh, can you believe they did that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I also love how we think that, you know, especially when you're younger, you imagine like, people who work in a hospital so buttoned up. And I mean, they're saving lives, but there they are saving a life. And then they go to the break room and they're like, and did you hear that so-and-so, you know, did that to the, I don't know, person's sandwich? And
right.
You can have the most intense job, but still love petty work drama. Just while you were talking, Mary, we put a poll out to our Instagram audience and we asked them their thoughts on petty work drama. And I have to say the results were a little surprising. Mm. So I was thinking, I'll have you guys guess. What percent of respondents love petty work drama and said it was the only thing keeping them in the workforce?
92.
Okay. I was going to say above 75.
Okay. So, Bethany, you feel good with 92?
I'm exactly.
Mary, 92. I'd say 75.
I would have thought similarly, but it's lower.
Oh, y'all like y'all jobs? That's what's up.
I know.
They need to find a work audience. Friend.
Reply in the comments and tell me where you work.
Maybe I don't want to work there because it doesn't sound very fun.
Maybe we don't want these people as friends. You guys want to revise your guesses? So it's lower than 75.
I'd say 40 then.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to go 40 something, but just for the sake of difference, let's say 61.
Okay, so 47%, only 47% of our respondents. So I was surprised. I thought it would be higher too.
Maybe even energy. Maybe we're burned out of even the petty work drama.
Maybe.
Maybe people are just like, I don't look forward to anything about my job. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, you don't get as much if you do work. If you work remotely, you don't get access to as much. Mm-hmm. So I do love to, like, you know, survey everyone and, like, hey, what's going on? You know, mm-hmm. ask her, what's your nemesis at work up to? Like, mm-hmm. did they stay home again when they were supposed to come in from the work from office day or what? Like, you know, it's dumb, but I'm just like, I need something. I need a little nugget to keep me going.
Yeah. I wonder if it's an age thing too, that maybe as people get older, they have so much else going on potentially, and they become a little less interested in the petty.
I wonder how my mom would answer that question.
Ooh. Great point.
I wonder how my mom would answer that question, because I'm just like, I realize that one of the privileges that I have is, like, my mom comes home and tells me all her petty work drama all the time. And I feel like I've been living in a perpetual debrief for my whole life. And so I kind of got the world of work even before I went into it. But I don't know whether she would say that she likes petty work drama, but she does. Mm-hmm. Like, she does, though. Mm-hmm.
Wants to pretend she's all above it, but...
Let's get into some petty work drama. I want to hear some, like, Hall of Fame stories. I want to hear some Hall of Fame petty work drama. So
pressure's on.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to take a little trip back in time to the first job that Astrid and I worked for together. And if you've been listening to this podcast, you know that we worked on the same team. We mostly worked on a team of women that were around our age. But there was... towards the end of our time at that company, there was one male coworker on our team.
And just to set the stage, this was a phase. This was a phase where Mary and I were both, you know, going after it, you know, want to climb.
Prove ourselves.
We were
right?
Girl, like, bossing.
We were girl bossing.
We were girl bossing too hard. We cared about our titles.
Yeah.
But as an example, if someone was running 5 minutes late, even, they would put a note in Slack like, hey, trains are running late, I'll be there at 9:10. So that was the culture, which becomes important as the story goes on to understand.
Heard.
I think the company itself was just, you know, everybody wanted to make an impact. Everybody was so communicative, overly communicative. And it was a common practice to, if you were running late, because at the time we were working in the office 5 days a week, if you were running late, you would let people know. Because every morning we had, like, a daily stand-up where we would, like, all physically stand up, go in a circle and, like, say, like, our top priorities for the day. We were in a state where we were, like, it felt very highly micromanaged in some ways. Mm-hmm. It's kind of crazy to think about that now. I'm like,
but I think we also fed into it a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. Because again, when you're in like a structure and you want to succeed, you're like, okay, mm-hmm. I'll adopt the rules of this. I'll play the game. I'll do, this is what I need to do to succeed. Okay, so this male coworker was frequently late to work. Frequently. To the point where it kind of became a mini obsession of Astrid and I's to see what time he would come to work. And again, this is dumb, right? Like, it didn't affect us. Like, he was on our team, but, like, him being late, who cares? It's none of our business because we need him.
But we made it our business.
We made it our business. So, you know, we would also, when we wanted to talk about work stuff, you know, we'd be like, go to GChat. So that was our little side, you know, we had to sidebar it in case mm-hmm. they were checking the Slack messages.
Relatable. That's another gem, folks. Don't talk your shit on the Slacks. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Text each other. Anyway.
Text or G-chat.
Something.
Take it off channel.
Yeah. Text is probably smarter even because we were still on work computers.
True.
Note for our past selves.
You know.
So anyway, we were kind of like monitoring this coworker's behavior because they came to work late a lot. And, you know, we didn't ever seem to, no one seemed to care. Like the management didn't seem to care. The leadership didn't seem to have any issue with it. Of course, you know, they could have had a conversation with them behind closed doors that we didn't know about. So one particular occasion, it was a random weekday. And the next morning, this coworker was going to like a networking breakfast or a networking mm-hmm. event or something. And so he was like, oh, I'm going to be in late tomorrow because I'm going to this networking breakfast. And so didn't think anything of it, even though we were, you know,
I'm sure we clocked it.
We were tracking his whereabouts in the office at all times.
His comings and goings.
Exactly.
No one's ever going to want to work with Mary and I after listening to some of these podcasts.
Okay, this was many years ago. And it was a petty, yes it was. Yeah. So the next morning, I'm in the office. It's, I don't know, say it's 10:30. Most people got to the office around 9:30. Say it's 10:30, mm-hmm. maybe 11. And this coworker's not there. And Astrid's in the bathroom. And so this coworker comes in and I don't know if it was me or someone else goes, oh, how was the networking event? And he goes, oh, I didn't go. I just slept in today.
Sir. It's 11:04 a.m.
In front of his manager, that person's manager, like our entire team, we were in a little pod, right? In an open space office. So Astrid's in the bathroom and I'm like, oh my God, I have to relay this information as soon as possible. So I go straight to G-chat. Well, first I think I slack her and I say G-chat. And then I go straight to G-chat and I said, oh, he didn't go to the networking event. He just slept in today. And this, I think, this is where Astrid comes in.
So I'm in the bathroom.
Doing what you do.
I stroll back to my desk thinking it's a normal weekday. But it's anything but. Oh. I get to Slack. I see the G-chat. Immediately my mind lights up. I'm all excited. I'm like, ooh.
Running
what
straight
is
to
waiting
G-
for
as
me?
Fast as I can get there.
Clear my morning. So G-chat has gone crazy. There's just message after message. And I'm like, ooh, it's going to be
juicy.
Good.
I feel the hairs on the back of my neck.
So I catch up on what's happened. And I'm just like, of course, par for the course. But I've been in the bathroom. So I don't know that he hasn't been to the networking event.
Right.
And being the petty person I was, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I stand up over my desk and I go, hey, how was the event? So that this person had to again admit, oh, I actually didn't go. Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's too bad.
So he had to, again, in front of everyone, in front of his bosses, say, oh, I just slept in today.
And so that is that's working with Mary and I. That's our that is our petty work story.
In a nutshell.
Bethany, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being like maximum petty, and one being not petty at all, what would you rate us in that situation?
Oh, I like this. I'm going with a solid 6.5.
Okay, right? Fair.
Right? I feel like it was none of your business, right? Like we didn't have to do it. We didn't ever have to have this discussion. But like also, he clearly deserved it.
100%.
Right? Like, mm-hmm. What do you mean you slept in? And I'm, especially me, I had to get on Beyonce's subway during rush hour and it's 11 o'clock and you just stumble in here. No, sir. So I feel it. Mm-hmm. I energetically respect what's happening. And I love it.
Well, and it's, you know, it's a pattern of behavior. Like, you know, back to my pattern of behavior. Back to my teacher ways, maybe.
Mary wanted to send him to detention.
I'm just like, there are rules and you must follow them. And this is a pattern of behavior. And no one seems to give a fuck that you're late every day. And then you just decide to sleep in when you should have been at a networking event.
I actually hate your manager. Things like that make me hate your manager even more than they make me hate you. Because what are you doing that is empowering this person? Why does he think that he can say that he slept in out loud? Because I would never admit that I slept in. I would be making up a deeply involved lie about how my dishwasher exploded. And, like, I tripped over a raccoon on my way into the office this morning because I slept in. No.
Yeah, and I think reflecting back on why I felt the need to say something is going off that point a little bit. I could not imagine ever doing something like that. And I think now, I mean, this was years ago, I'm in a bit of a different place where I think I would potentially, like, at that time, I would have, you know, I could have had a 100-degree fever and I would have been like, well, I said I was going to this event and so I should just go because I'm not going to want to admit that I didn't go, and going actually wouldn't be the best thing. So I think I was, we talked about work envy last time, but I think I was in a lot of ways envious of his ability to just, oh, I'm not feeling that well, so I'm actually going to sleep in instead. And I was like, I could never. So I think there was that underlaying it, this need to, yeah, this sense of envy in that way too.
Look at you introspecting.
Because we talked about work envy last time. So
I love that.
Well, I think also we have to, maybe on a more serious note, but we have to like acknowledge, like, I think that there was some male privilege happening at this on this team and at that workplace at the time. And I still don't quite understand what it was, because we had really strong female leadership. I think it's, it'd be
like that.
Again, it's back to that pattern of behavior.
What would an elementary school teacher do in this situation? Would they send him to detention? Would he,
Oh, I'm definitely sending a letter home to the parent.
I like that.
Oh, yeah, you're calling the parent.
Oh, yeah. I need to. We need to work with a solution. My husband is a teacher, so I know how this goes.
Yes.
I hate when people misspell my name at work, and I hate it because my name is Bethany. It's spelled exactly.
What? I'm sorry. I'm not sure how to spell that.
How it sounds. And in this world where they force you to create a signature, my email is Bethany.Smith. And, like, it's written everywhere it could possibly be written. My parents did not name me anything cultural or ethnic very specifically so that we didn't run into this issue. But, like, people be making things up. And so I remember there was this one person with whom I worked who just would not refer to me by my name via email. I had been Brittany, I had been Becky, I had been Beverly, anything. As long as it had a B at the beginning and like a E sound at the end, that was me. And I had gently brought this up many a time. And then one day, and I will never forget this, right? Like, he sent me an email and he spelled my name Bethany, B-A-T-H-E-N-I. And at that point, I was like, bro, you're just making shit up now. Like, you've never seen that anywhere. You've never heard that before. You're playing with me. Mm. And so I was just like, I am going to, not just in writing, I am never going to call this man by his name again.
Taste of your own medicine.
And in the same conversation, I would refer to him as three different things. I would just be like, listen, Jason, I don't know what to tell you about last month's expense reports. Honestly, Joshua, it is not up to me, you know? We do the same thing every month, Jeremy. And it just got to be like really, really, really egregious. And I never explained myself. He knew what it was. Mm. And I knew what it was. And it later became an inside joke between the two of us. And, like, sometimes he would call me, you know, Beverly. And I would just be like, yes, Jacob. And we just – I don't even remember his real name anymore because I just, like, I'm removing that.
first off, good for you.
Thank you.
Because I just think it doesn't take very much to spell someone's name, even if your name wasn't easy and straightforward to spell, like in American culture right. or in a workplace. Like, there's, if it's in an email, I'm sorry, it takes 2 seconds to double check that you're saying, you're writing the right name and it's spelled correctly. So no excuse for that. So good for you.
You can copy paste it. I will not be mad.
We won't know if you copy pasted it. But just, you know, check the formatting, because sometimes people copy paste things and you're like, oh. Mm.
Babe. I was just like, what is a Bethany? What is that?
Just, yeah, it almost sounds like he was doing it on purpose.
He was. Too, yeah. That is how I yeah. literally read that email and I was like, you're playing with me mm-hmm. and I make $5 more than minimum wage. Can't afford it. Can't afford to be played with.
I love how you responded though, because you almost made light of the situation and like you could have sort of had a serious talk with him or something, but by giving it back to him, I was like, I see what you're doing. And, you know, it's not a huge deal. I'm just going to do it to you.
And
so
better.
I feel like you handled it.
Yes.
Just hearing you go through the examples. Okay, Jacob, well, you know, and then just in the same conversation.
I just made sure that it started with the same letter. Your name starts with a J, and you are going to be any J name that crosses my path in the moment. Because that's what I literally feel like you're doing to me. Who is Becky?
I love it. Yeah, you played him at his own game and you did better. You played him better. I love that.
Welcome
and it's like sort
season.
Of you should be respected and your name should always be spelled correctly and you should be addressed by your actual name. But I also love that you kind of like didn't let him take power from you and you were sort of like, no, I'm taking this power back
yeah,
by like turning it on you.
Joke's on you, Jacob.
That's
or
always
whatever
how.
Your name is.
Or well, whatever.
Watch his name really be Jacob.
My sister and I have this phenomenon that we call being mildly pranked. I'm very sensitive. I don't like to be teased. I don't like, I don't want to fall down. I don't like to look stupid. Stop that. But, like, I like a good gentle teasing. Like, I like a prank that doesn't hurt anybody or, like, hurt anybody's feelings. I'm there. Right? So there was this white guy. And he was very lovely. Right? Like, we were friends. But he commented too much on my hair. Like, he just commented too much on my hair. How'd you do that? Mm. I love your braids. Oh, my God. That looks so good. Like, what did you braid that? Like, is that your, like, oh. And so I was starting to get annoyed, right? Because I'm just like, Daniel, you don't even have, like, the prerequisites for me to answer all of these questions. You don't know what you're talking about right now. So, and Dan was a smoker and a frequent coffee drinker. So he would, like, leave the office several times a day to go outside and do a thing. And so one day I brought every wig that I owned to the office. And every time he got on the elevator, I was switching. I'm talking like drastic. We went from Chaka Khan curly fro to like a pixie cut to like a braided wig, which are really bad. And I don't suggest those for anyone, to like bangs. I did a bob. We went through like 6 before he was just like,
Was he commenting every time?
No, he didn't comment every time. He commented the first time. And he was just like, hey. Is that?
Bethany's making a confused face right now.
It's just like, it, like, you know, the squint. He was just like, is that how you? But it was still very early in the morning. So I could tell that he was like, am I thinking about her from last week? Was that this morning? I need to drink this coffee. But, like, the second time he went out, I think that he didn't have, like, the chutzpah. He was just like, I'm not gonna talk to her about this. But then I started getting drastic. I'm like, let's do colors. Let's vary the length in a, like, really ridiculous way. And by that 6, when he was just like, all right, so is this for me? Is this about me?
Okay, well, that's kind of self-aware, I guess.
I guess.
Slightly.
At 6 p.m., he was finally like, I think something's going on.
It was like 2:30. I was like, yeah, Dan, I was just waiting for you to get tired of commenting on my hair. I just wanted to see what it would take. And he was just like, okay. I understand.
What a power move, Bethany.
And I just wanted to show everybody all my wigs. Just like, I have some really good ones that I don't have an excuse to wear anymore. Where am I going to wear this powder blue afro.
Did your other coworkers notice or did they?
Oh, I brought them all in on it.
Oh, okay, love that. So everyone knew you were like, we're playing a prank on Daniel. And everyone's like, enjoying the pettiness of it. I was like, y'all are going to see me change my
hair a bajillion times. I'm not going to the bathroom every time I do it either. So don't say nothing. Do not comment on my little gel braids up underneath here. That's not what this is about. That's what, those were the rules. Don't say nothing to Dan. Don't say nothing to me. Just let it play out.
I feel like in both of those instances, it's really you like dishing out in just such a great, sort of also a little loving in a sense. Like it's not a really aggressive, like, hey, please don't do this, but, or not even please, but just sort of like making your point. It reminds me of a, you know what do they say? Like walk softly but carry a big stick.
Yeah. Ooh.
You have always got these little lines that I'm like, where did that come from?
Some wool. I remember that.
I love that saying.
Global history. I think it's like, mm-hmm. I'm thinking about your introspective moment about like work in general. And I think it's just because I don't respond well to super direct, super aggressive feedback. Right? Mm. Like, I have such a big personality, but I'm so sensitive and I'm like so soft baked, actually. Right? So, I'm always just like, I always tell my managers, I am going to cry at some point in this relationship. You're going to say something and I'm going to just start tearing up. You don't have to acknowledge that if you don't want to. I'm going to be fine. I've cried at Cottonelle commercials. This is not, it's not deep, but I don't like confrontation in that way. I don't want to yell. I don't want that. I'm not even sure that I really believe that that people truly bounce back from things like that. I'm like, everybody always likes each other a little less after those types of interactions. So we will laugh about this and I will lovingly bring you into my side of things. And then if that doesn't work and I'm ready to burn the bridge, then, you know, to hell with it. But until the bridge is ready to be burned, we can do this gently.
I love that. I feel like that's a really fun way to introduce like humor in the workplace that I never would have thought of. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I think I go to the like, oh, something's wrong. This is a problem. It needs to be fixed. Like, so I think I go to that, not necessarily aggressive, but that more direct route of like, there's something wrong. It needs to be fixed. But I just appreciate the way that you approach that. And again, you were sort of like reclaiming yourself, reclaiming your own power in that and being like, no, I'm actually not going to let you like rattle me. I'm going to like turn it on its head completely.
Yeah, I have the utmost respect though. Like I think I'm at a stage in my own life and career journey where I'm trying to find the balance of, and especially as a new manager person, I've been a manager for a little while now and I'm just like, okay, we're stopping and we're debriefing. And I think I'm very good at being relatable and I'm very good at being like clear, but I think sometimes I can almost be too relatable where people are just like, that is my friend and she cares about me and I care about her, but you know, I'm gonna sleep in, right? Like I'm gonna just, and I actually need to be a little bit more like my mom and be like, yes, I do love you and I care about you, but I want you to be terrified to do some things that is not what I just said to do. Like terrified, actually. So I have to work on finding that balance. How do I inspire fear and love? I'll talk about it with my therapist.
Or another episode. You know, maybe we'll have you back, Bethany, and we'll check in on how it's going.
It is striking such a balance. And yeah, I feel like we could talk about that for hours.
Honestly. Yeah.
As a big fan of petty work drama, I fully enjoyed this. So, Bethany, thank you for sharing your amazing petty work drama. Mary, I've loved being part of petty work drama with you, you know, thinking back on our pettiness together.
And hopefully there'll be some pettiness in the future. Because I am leaving this episode still being very pro-petty drama.
Oh, yeah. Definitely pro-petty
100%.
Drama.
Yeah. To those 53% of our Instagram followers who are not petty pro-work drama, maybe this will change them.
Maybe, you know what? They probably had a different definition than us.
This is why it's important to define common language. Bethany, thank you so much. You are a delight as a friend, as a former colleague. We're so happy that you came on. And thank you for sharing. I feel like I learned so much from you in this episode too. And I also laughed. And now I'm like, yeah. Oh.
Job description. Thanks for having me. This was so lovely. It was great to get back up with you guys and love being on the pod. Love being at the dumpster with you both, you know?
Thank you for coming to the dumpster. I'm Mary.
I'm Astrid.
And this was Meet Me by the Dumpster.